Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth tonight. You'll never guess who our co-host is tonight. It's Michael P. McCarthy. Good old Patrick. Patrick, where were you
for? I was supposed to be here last week. My wife had a thing come up. I was going to be here for the St. Patrick's Day edition.
Yeah, well, you weren't, and we celebrated St. Patricio Day instead.
Got all those snakes out of Ireland.
Because I had all the Italians with me, Lavezza and Tignanelli, taking care of things for you there, Mikey.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
That would have been a better story. I probably should have said I was celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
We're tonight on an open show, Michael. An open show means that you are the guest. You get to make the decision of what our conversation will be all about. Maybe you have a question on taxes. Maybe you have a question about, your 401k. Maybe you have a question on Social Security or Medicare. Maybe your question is about estate planning or elder care or college planning, interest rates, mortgages, whatever. You know, if you're dealing with your personal finance, we're here to help you. And the phone number tonight is 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, and keeping in mind that those who call in early always get the most attention. So the early birds get the worm, I guess, still, even here on Money, Riches, and Wealth. Anyway, we're on a open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. And just wanted to remind you, I published the book, The Financial Physical, about a month ago. And that book can be gotten on Amazon. The paperback version is $5.99. We priced it to sell. It's a free delivery, especially if you're a Prime member, for $5.99. And Kindle version is only $2.99. You know, most people are pricing books at $19 and $10 for the electronic version. And we said, no, we want to just get the word out. We're not looking to make a lot of money on a book. We don't do this radio show, for other reason than to educate the public about what we believe true professional financial advising is and to answer your questions and to be a help to you. So if you want to get that book on Amazon, we'd appreciate it. It's called The Financial Physical by Andrew Tignanelli.
And if you liked it, leave a 5-star review. If you didn't like it, leave a 5-star review.
There you go. Good point, Mike. You know, just leave a 5-star review no matter what you do. So anyway, we got Brian in Parkville. Let's go to Brian.
Brian, how can we help?
Yes, just a quick question. I'm getting close to retirement. And just a question about paying taxes on my IRA when it comes time to take the money out. I'm thinking about taking the money out and putting it into something like an annuity that pays me an income. Just hypothetical question. Say I have $500,000 in my IRA.
Okay.
How much taxes am I likely to pay when I take it out and put it into something else?
That is virtually an impossible question for me to answer unless I knew everything, okay? So in other words, how much are you going to get from Social Security? Are you going to start collecting Social Security right away? Do you have any other interest in dividends? Do you have any capital gains? Do you have a spouse that's making any money, et cetera, et cetera? If it's only the annuity that's going to generate the income for you and you're not going to have any Social Security or anything of that sort, the answer to the question is the annuity will probably pay you about $20,000. How old are you approximately? 60, 65, 70?
I am 59.
So it's approximately 60. It'll pay you about 4%, so it's about $20,000. And if that's the only income you have, you'll have virtually no taxes, maybe $500.
So Brian, what Drew here is assuming, which is what you would want to do, is that you don't actually take the money out of the IRA. You purchase the annuity inside of the IRA.
That's correct. Yeah, you got to keep that in mind. You purchase the annuity inside the IRA so that you don't pay taxes on that $500,000 theoretical balance. And also, do not buy an annuity with commissions built into it. All right, Brian, you go for, there are plenty of companies out there now that'll do these exact same annuities with no commissions whatsoever.
Awesome.
You remember the old days when people used to buy mutual funds with commissions? Well, you know, then along came Vanguard and created the no commission mutual funds. Well, the same's happening now with annuities. Go ahead, Mikey.
Well, I was just going to make sure Brian thinks about the fact that you really need to make sure you're going to have other assets available if you need a lump sum. Because once you put this money into the annuity and all of a sudden you say, oh, actually, I need $10,000 to fix my roof. They're going to be like, well, sorry. I mean, maybe you can get it out, but it's going to cost you a lot more than you would have intended.
Right. So you got to think that out.
I do understand that.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So I wish I could answer your question specifically, but if you gave me your whole situation, I could do an estimated tax analysis and say exactly this is exactly what it's going to cost you.
Okay, I wasn't aware I could do the annuity inside of the IRA. I was thinking that you had to take it out. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pay taxes on, you know, $500,000.
Yeah, well, that was very intuitive of Mikey to realize that that's what you were asking, and that
you were
thinking, how much is I going to have to pay in taxes on that $500,000? That would have been about $175,000. Anyway, we got to take a pause, Brian. And we'll be right back. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Nobody's online, so you're next. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right.
Anita's getting the drivers woken up. Don't fall asleep at the wheel there.
Yeah, there you go. We're dancing in the aisles now. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Nobody's online, eh?
No, we got people online. Got one caller, but the other lines are open, so if anybody else is listening,
410-922-6680. Let's go to Chuck.
Chuck, how can we help?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm just trying to get that visual out of my head with Drew dancing in the aisle.
This is the Chuck there, Mikey.
Oh, I got it. Took me a second, Chuck.
That took me a second, too, you know? He's got a serious question.
I have a serious question. I heard you this morning on CBM talking about brick-and-mortar banks and the fact that people are waking up now and taking their money out of savings accounts because they're 0% interest. Well, we have a relative who's been scammed a couple times. You know the story. And she had two savings accounts at Truist. Am I allowed to say the bank? Well, I already did.
And, that's okay. No. We'll let them know where to find you.
Don't say it, Chuck. Don't say Truist again, though.
Okay. Well, we went in there to change the account numbers, and we ended up combining those two accounts into a single money market account through that same bank, which I won't mention, and with a new account number. When then I heard what you said this morning, I wanted to tell you that when we did this, we found out that those savings accounts were, in fact, offering 0% interest, which was unbelievable to me. And the money market is going to get us 3%, I think, 3 point something maybe. So my question is the money market account at that bank as safe and secure as any other place to invest it, or should I be concerned with going through the brick-and-mortar banks to do that?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it's an easy one to answer, and that is if it is a money market or a savings account or a checking account or a CD, and you have less than $250,000 in that person's name, then it is federally insured up to the full 250, regardless what kind of account it's in. Now, here's where it gets complicated, though, okay? So let's say you go into the bank and you say, you know, hey, I don't like this rate of return here, and your money market's only yielding 3%. I would like something even higher yielding. And the bank manager says, hey, I've got a mutual fund here that's yielding more, and it's called a money market fund, and I could do that for you. That would not be insured. So, but that's a unique situation, but it can happen. That's why I'm saying, unfortunately, they use the same terms, and this happened back in the 1980s when money market mutual funds were a thing at the brokerage firms, that they were stealing money from banks left and right, because most people didn't realize they weren't insured, but they were yielding so much more than the banks. And then the banks came out with a similar name term, money market, but it was actual bank product that was insured, FDIC, and they raised the rates on them, and they were able to keep a lot of that money in the banks. So,
got it.
You know, but normally, Chuck, it is insured money. Now, the interesting thing is that you probably have seen this with us, is that we now are offering a thing called
what, clients. Mikey? It's just to clients.
To clients. To only to clients. Only to our clients. A thing called Flourish. And we don't do this unless they're a full comprehensive client of ours. And what is it, Mike? It's insured up to like $3 million. And it's
$3 million for a joint, $1.5 million for an individual or a company or nonprofit. 4.4% on
the first million.
No, and then no. First 250 or 500.
And no, it's the first million. No, 250 or 500.
I will have a clarification.
Have a clarification later, and then 3% thereafter, I think it is, or 4% thereafter.
4% thereafter.
4% now. Wow. So. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty attractive, and you know, we're part of the problem. We're taking the money out of the banks, and we're taking the money out of the low yielding side of the bank and moving it to higher yielding inside the banks federally insured.
Now, Stonecastle Bank, which anyone could go to get, that has a minimum opening account of $250,000. That's the one you're thinking of. That has the initial rate up to $1 million.
Okay, and they're about the similar rate, right?
Yes. I think they're an eighth of a percent underneath.
Right. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff you've got to be doing right now. And the bank's just going to have to learn how to deal with it. They've done it before, and they'll do it now. All right, Chuck?
The rest of my story is that we got all that money back. And the more we learned about the scamming, the more it appeared that the bank was somewhat culpable. And I think that's why they got it back, which is what led to the question about, is the money market through banks that are that sloppy still safe to invest through it? And what I heard you say is yes, because it's insured anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. And here's an interesting thing that Mike will tell you. You have to look at your bank statement on a regular monthly basis. Go ahead, Mike, tell them.
It's really important that if somebody is fraudulently getting money out of your account, that you notice as soon as possible, because the various institutions have time delays. As long as you catch it within 30, 60, or 90 days, depending on the situation, they'll put it back in. But if it goes longer than that, they'll say, sorry, you have to have some responsibility to watch your own account and let us know if someone's stealing from you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right. And that's why it's 30 days. Don't even think of the 60 or 90.
If it was obviously a fraudulent check with names spelled wrong and all those kind of things, or a check, in this case, presented against a savings account?
In our situation, it was fraudulently written checks, and they only covered the checks that were within 30 days of the beginning of the fraud.
Right.
Okay.
That's another thing. Whenever you open an account, make sure you know if they're going to be sending you a checkbook.
And let me tell you, something. I tell all the young people in my company, I balance my checking account every single month. And they always look at me like, oh, you're an old fuddy-duddy, you know, because we just we just go online and we see how much money's in the account. We don't need to do that.
Well, I do both, Drew. I go on every day at night and see what cleared that day and check it off. And sometimes I forgot to put something in the ledger. And
with
sometimes
fraud,
somebody hasn't cashed something for a couple months.
With fraud now, you have to be doing that. We got to run, Chuck. I got another call I got to take. Great call.
Good to hear from
you. Good question.
All right. Without further ado, we'll go to John in Mount Washington. John, how can we help?
Hey, Drew. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned about you using a credit card to buy a whole bunch of goods for your new home in Florida, like, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000, and you paid it off every month. But yet your credit rating went down from like mid 800s down to, I think you said low 700s or something like that.
Yeah.
And my question was, I mean, that was stunning to me because you said, listen, the facts are the facts. It happened to you. And the stunning thing is you paid it off, from what I understood, each month. You weren't running a balance, and they still lowered you.
It gets even better, John. I paid it off. And 2 months or so later, I had some more bills, ran up to about 20-some thousand. I managed to get all the way back to 795, and they hammered me back down to 750 again. You know, and
I
every
have a
time,
trick for that.
Go ahead. Give us your trick,
so,
Mikey.
So, just like you, I'm a dork and watch my credit score religiously each month. So, what I figured out when they were doing that to me, and I was paying off everything every month, I called American Express and I said, hey, American Express, I'm a pretty good client. How about an $80,000 credit limit? You know what they said? Sure, Mike.
I did the same
thing.
And now
my percentage
use
is so much lower. My credit score went right up.
I did the same thing, Mike, but they still hammered me.
Well, they must like me better.
I guess. They give my wife a 845 credit score,
yep.
And if she didn't have me, she would have a zero credit
Holly
score.
Holly has an 815, and she doesn't have I don't know what they're thinking.
John, did you have a question? We only have about 40 seconds to go.
Yeah, so okay, this is very revealing because, you know, I got a credit card. My credit rating is also, you know, mid-800s. It's about as good as they told me it was 850, whatever, so I think that's the best. The point is, I was going to charge. I have a high credit limit, which I almost never come close to, but I was thinking of making a big purchase on it, like tens of maybe $20,000, $30,000, like you, Drew. And I was wondering, I guess I'm likely to get hammered the same way. And what did you do to get it to come back? How fast did it come back? I mean, because
can you hold for that answer?
Go ahead.
We're
going to
put you on hold, and we'll be right back with more money, riches, and wealth.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Lines are open. I'm going to answer John's question in a second, but I just wanted to let you know we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. And I would hope that you would go to Amazon and get my book, The Financial Physical, and read about my passion as to why this industry needs to change from a sales mentality to a professional industry, one that's dedicated to their clients like a doctor is dedicated to their patients, one that works as a fiduciary, fee-only, independent, credentialed, educated, experienced, in the fields of personal finance to help you with all areas, not just invest your money. Investing in money has become relatively straightforward. It's the rest of it. It's the tax planning, the estate planning, the insurances, the retirement planning, goals and objectives, Social Security, Medicare. All those things are where the complexity comes in, and that's what a professional advisor should do for you. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. If you want to get the book, go on to Amazon, The Financial Physical by Andrew Tignanelli. And we priced it to sell. So anyway, John, the answer to your question is basically, first off, I didn't care that my credit score went lower because it really was still in a good range. And I really wasn't borrowing money. I had no intention to borrow money. But there are other things. People don't realize your credit score is being checked for lots of things. Like if you go to get auto insurance, did you realize that your auto insurance agent is likely, their company is likely to do a credit check on you and see what your credit score is? Because Progressive prove that there is a high correlation between your credit score and your driving. So there's lots of things that your credit score is being checked on. But I knew that I wasn't going to change auto insurance and I wasn't going to do this and I wasn't going to do that. So I wasn't worried about my score going down. But I also knew that I was going to pay these balances off and sooner or later they would keep pushing me forward. And they did. And I'd say it took about 5 months of constantly paying the bills off. And I got back from like 720 back up to 790. And then I spent had another big year, Christmas or something, and next thing I know, I'm back down to 760, and I built my way back up, and I would say I'm running in the 800-some range right now. So it took a year or two, but it did come back.
And, John, I don't know, which source are you using to monitor your credit score?
Well, my goodness. Experience is one of them, and then I got another credit card. And they ran my credit, and it wasn't Experian. It was something else that they used.
Yeah. There is a number of, beyond the credit agencies, there is a number of credit scoring companies that create hybrid scores from different information. So, you know, I do Mint.com to give me my Vantage score, which is a hybrid number. And then, you know, depending on which credit cards you have, a number of them give you access to some of your credit scores. So, there's different interesting places to watch it as well.
Wow, wonderful. Thanks a lot. But, Drew, you never really got it all the way back up. That's amazing.
Well, give them time.
Well, mine only started at like 800 or so. My wife's got better credit score than I do. Right. You know, it'll never go back to 850 or so. I don't know, because there are all kinds of weird little algorithm things they do. Anyway, we got to run to Mike in Eldersburg. Great question, John. Thank you for that.
Mike, how can we help?
Hey, Drew. Good afternoon and
Early
evening. I have a quick question about local investment firms. I'm not going to bring up any names, but looking for a financial planner, financial advisor. I listened to you for years, actually called in several times. But one of the things that I'm looking at is a family friend has a pretty big portfolio and kind of a highfalutin group. I'm not sure that's a real good fit for me, and I was just wondering what you thought about some of these bigger brokerage houses.
You don't want to ask Drew that
question. You just set him up.
You don't want to ask Drew that question. You should read my book. You know, read my book. I lay the UBSs and the Merrill Lynches and the Morgan Stanleys and the Raymond James that, you know, and say that, you know, they do great commercials. They've got a lot of money. But they don't do professional planning. That's my opinion, you know. They can't. They're not going to. And
so what's your first litmus test, Drew? What's the first thing you're going to say, like, hey, Mike, if you're evaluating financial advisors, what's the first test you should give them? Are they a member?
Are they a member of NAPFA? You know, I believe a professional advisor would be independent, fee-only, a fiduciary at all times, educated, credentialed, and NAPFA is the only organization that requires you to meet those qualifications. And no brokerage firm can meet that because they all have the ability to take commissions. They're not independent of brokerage firms, insurance companies, and banks. Rarely do they have credentials. They do have credentials, some of the people, but not all of them. Most of them don't. They don't act as a fiduciary. That's an amazing thing that a lot of people don't know. If you're with a brokerage firm, you do not have to be a fiduciary most of the time. So, I mean, you know, this is my opinion. you should read my book and just understand why I believe this. And I'm the pot calling the kettle black, because I did that for 16, 17 years with Raymond James and Associates. I was part of them. I understood, but I became a much better financial advisor to my clients when I became independent, fee only, and forced to be a fiduciary at all times for my clients. And that's what I, you know, why I wrote the book.
Another thing that that Drew taught me a long time ago, and it really rained, it really sunk in for me, is, well, when you go to the offices, what is honored? Like, what do they promote? When you look around at how they've decorated, you look around at what kind of building they're in, is it promoting the same values that you want applied to your money, or does it look like that marble floor and those mahogany walls? Who paid for those? That's the line that I think, Drew, you used to say to me. Who paid for the mahogany walls and the marble floors?
Well, and then here's another thing, too. I got some of the greatest people that I work with, like Mike here. I mean, if you knew how smart this guy was, okay, you'd be amazed at the intelligence this guy has. And then Chuck Bender and Chris O'Shea and Graham Ewing. And, you know, I could go through the whole list, and I would go through the whole list if I had time, but not a single one of them would survive in a brokerage firm, because they would throw them out on the street, say, you're a financial advisor, I'm not going to bring clients in for you, you go find your own clients, and if you can't, you don't get to work here. Eat what you kill is their famous line, and they still use it to this day. So, you know, I'm pretty passionate about it, Mike.
Yep. Don't hold back.
Well, thank you. I think I'm in the same arena with you. I just have to get my wife on board.
Well, you should get the book, The Financial Physical, and have, you know, let her see some of the things that I'm talking about in there.
And obviously, we are promoting ourselves. We're on the radio. This is how Drew and I are making our living. That should all be said. But what we'll at the very least say is, you know, hey, there's other NAPFA firms too. If you don't believe us, you know, we really mean that, like, that's kind of the direction you should go in, even if you don't go with us. Try to get into that universe of...
Got some great NAPFA firms in Baltimore, you know. All right, buddy. Good question.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Where are we, Mike? It's about 30 seconds, I guess.
Yeah,
40
well,
seconds.
All lines are open.
All lines are open. We're an open show. We still have the last quarter show. We could probably take two or three callers, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and direct the conversation for this last 15 minutes of
the
show.
We got a couple seconds. I'll fill with one of those financial tips I said I'd share with everybody offline. So another trick I do to protect myself against fraud is I have a savings account. And that savings account has a debit card, and that debit card can only access that savings account. It can't access my checking account or any of my other accounts. And I keep $300 to $500 in there, and that's the ATM card. That's the card you walk up, you swipe at the ATM if you need, you know, a couple hundred bucks for something. And the reason I do that is because if one of those scanners ever gets a hold of my card number, then the best they're going to get out of me is $300 to $500. Even if I can get it back from the bank, I'd rather not have to worry about it. So.
Yeah, so what I don't, you said it pretty quickly, but there's these skim devices they put on ATM machines and different things, and they steal your debit card, and then they start taking money out of your account as quickly as possible.
Yep.
So that's what Bike's doing. So
yep.
Great
so we'll,
concept.
We'll end the quarter on that, but we'll be right back with more money, riches, and wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, the last quarter hour of the show, here with the grand old Irishman, Michael Patrick McCarthy.
I don't think I've been on the show.
Trying to get that out.
I don't think I've been on the show since this happened, so for Christmas, very quickly, my wife and I got 23andMe DNA testing. My wife always jokes with me. She figures, Mike, you're probably not even that Irish. You just think you're that Irish. So we got the test back. I tell my wife, I said, you're not going to believe the results. She goes, you're not even half Irish, are you? I said, well, I'm 99.6% Irish. We were all surprised.
Yeah. Now, and she's, what, 70% or
something like
right?
that, yeah.
Yeah, so your kids are pretty darn Irish.
Yeah, they know it, too.
That's why I don't take a test. I don't want to even take a chance that somebody would tell me I'm anything less than 100%
I got to show you a video of a wife tricking her Italian husband into thinking that he's barely Italian.
Guy, you got any callers on
we
the line,
We do.
Mikey?
Let's go right to Wayne Glenburney. Wayne, how can we help?
Yeah, so I had a question for you. On the FDIC, the $250,000 coverage, it's my understanding that if you have a joint account and you have, say, that amount of money or double that amount of money or whatever, that both of you are covered, but even though you'd be the principal, it'd be your money, the FDIC would give $250 to the one and $250 to the other joint holder. If you had beneficiaries, the first two beneficiaries wouldn't count, I was told by the bank, would not count. You'd have to have an additional one to get it up to $750,000 and another one to get it up to $1 million, and that's the limit to what FDIC, who has no money, says that they would cover. Do you have any clarification on that?
Well, I don't know who told you that, but that's not the way it works. So if I was a single person, I put two beneficiaries down, I would get $500,000 of insurance. If I put five individual beneficiaries down as a single person, I'd get $1,250,000 of insurance. If I was married and I had a joint account and I put two beneficiaries down, I'd get $500,000 of insurance for the one joint owner. I'd get $500,000 of insurance for the second joint owner. I'd get $1 million of insurance. And if I put three beneficiaries down, I'd get $750 each for $1.5 million. And if you want to prove this and say, I'm not sure he knows what he's talking about, do a Google search for FDIC insurance calculator and put the information in exactly like I said and see if it comes up with the right answer just like I said it would. Because I've done this many times over the last 10 years, and I know exactly how that calculator works. As long as your beneficiaries are individuals, you'll get $250,000 for each beneficiary, and you'll get $250,000 for each beneficiary for each joint owner.
Okay, so if you have a joint owner account, say you're a single person, so you have a sibling on it or something like that, and so you'd be covered for, each one would be covered for $250,000. Now
wait a minute, if you put beneficiaries down, you and the other joint owner don't get any insurance. I mean, you get the insurance, but the insurance is going to be built off of the beneficiaries, no longer off the joint owners. Am I making that clear?
No, I'm not sure I understand that.
So, okay, so Drew and Bev have a joint account, okay? So I have $500,000 of insurance. If I then put one beneficiary down, I still only have $500,000 of insurance because I only have one beneficiary, and that beneficiary gets $250,000 for me, $250,000 for my wife, okay? So there's your $500,000. If I put two beneficiaries down, I get $500,000 for me, I get $500,000 for my wife. There's my $1 million of insurance. But the fact that I'm a joint owner, my $250,000 doesn't really count anymore. And you got to keep in mind, I don't know where you got the idea that if you're insured for $500,000, it's a joint account, they give $250,000 to one joint owner and $250,000 to the other joint owner. They really just write it.
They just restore the account.
They just restore the account and you go on your way.
One person overtalked the other one, so I missed that. I'm partially deaf. So you're saying that if you have a joint ownership, and I'll end it with this, you would get, the one joint owner would get 250, the other joint owner would get 250, even though the principal party that had a joint owner on there, he doesn't get the full 500. If you have two beneficiaries, the two joint owners cancel each one of those beneficiaries out. You'd have to have an additional, like a third beneficiary, to pick up another $250,000 to get the $750,000.
No, because if I had two beneficiaries on a joint account, I've got $1 million of insurance.
Okay, so you are covered for $1 million if you got two.
Yeah, what I would suggest you do is a Google search for FDIC calculator. FDIC insurance calculator, and then you can put the information in. It says you want to add a person to this account. Okay, add a person. Do you want to add a beneficiary? Is this person an individual, and are they still alive? And you answer each of those questions. Really simple, and okay, you'll see exactly how this works. Okay?
Okay, that'd be wonderful. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you for your knowledge and your wisdom and your courtesy to answer that question.
No problem. Great question. Yeah, because it's on a lot of people's minds right now, Mikey.
Well, there was a lot of hidden gems in that question that I want to point out before we gloss over them. So if you have a lot of money in a bank account and you're trying to get it up to FDIC insurance, and the example Wayne got, he might, you know, maybe whether he was using it as an example or it was really his situation, he said, well, I'm going to get, you know, my sister on there or something like that. Well, if you add your sister to your joint account, your sister's liabilities – any liability your sister incurs is now that joint account is subject to as well. Is that not correct?
Yeah, she filed for bankruptcy, or she got divorced, or somebody lawsuit against her for an auto accident. Yeah, that joint account could be subject to attachment, possibly.
You definitely want to be sensitive about using the joint account holders. Now, the other thing we talked about earlier tonight that a lot of people aren't aware of, if you're in a situation where you're needing, you know, $1 million plus FDIC insurance on, you know, bank cash, there are a number of banks. The one that we're most familiar with that serves kind of anyone is Stonecastle Bank. That what they do is they take the deposits in and then they shotgun them back out to participant banks. So from your perspective, it looks like one account. But then when you get your statement, you'll see that they have moved this money across as many bank accounts as they needed to get your FDIC insurance. So,
and that's especially good for, Mike, for business owners.
Yes, because business owners have a hard time getting, they have a lot of cash. That's what happened to SVB, right?
Yeah. Business owners, only 5% of all SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, were insured people because most were business owners. If you're a business, you only get $250,000 of insurance. If you're running a payroll of $10 million, let's say, guess what? As that money runs through the banks, you're $950,000 of uninsured money, and they fled the minute they heard Silicon Valley was in trouble. So something like Stonecastle can help protect you, keep you insured as much as possible.
Yeah, there's at least three of them out there, but Stonecastle is the one I'm most familiar with.
Yeah, and we do Flourish only for our clients, our comprehensive clients. We do Flourish, and we get up to $3 million of insurance for joint
starting April 17th.
Starting April 17th, thank you very much. And then we're getting 4.4% on whatever balance that is.
$250,000 and $500,000, depending on.
$250,000 and $500,000. Did you verify that?
I didn't, but I really know. I just wrote the thing down a second
okay.
ago.
Okay, yeah, you know, but you're getting 4% on anything over the $250,000 or
$500,000. Correct.
Anyway, we only do that for our clients. If you're a comprehensive client of ours and you haven't seen our anything mentioning this, then you should be getting in touch with your advisor. Anyway, Mikey, I just want to tell everybody that we've published our book. We don't have anybody else out there online, do we?
Nope.
No. So I published a book about a month ago called The Financial Physical. If you want to learn more about this industry, you want some great tips, at the end of each chapter, I give three tips. One's on the psychology of money, one's on financial planning, one's on investments, at the end of each chapter. And let me tell you something, the psychology of money is far more important than almost anything else. And you have to understand, and there's whole books written on behavioral finance, that we make mistakes on our money because we believe something to be true that isn't. So it's a bias of ours, and we assume that it's true. And you have to learn how to overcome those things. Anyway, the financial physical is on Amazon. If you want to get it, $5.99. Kindle, $2.99. I hope you go out there and get that book. Mike, anything before we go?
Nope, nothing that I can fit in 1 minute.
Thought you were going to start singing "Oh Danny Boy" or something, yeah. You know? Being 99.6% Irish, I figure you could do a good rendition of it.
Oh Danny Boy, the light. No, we're not going to start that. That good, thank you, Anita. Needed that.
It's a strange song that I've never really understood anyway. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli. Thank God bless. Things are going